Chapter 20 and verse 21, I've entitled the message, Finishing the Father's Will in Jesus. Finishing the Father's Will in Jesus. The book is John, chapter is 20, and the verse is 21. And after the message, you should have something to praise the Lord about. You should allow your faith to expand tonight. And if you've got problems, my friend, if you're sitting here tonight and you're weary, why not bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there? If you've got doubts and fears, why don't you roll them away on Him tonight, since He's here to take them? If you cannot see afar off, why don't you take the Word tonight and use it as your telescope? Put it to your eye and see off in the future and have somewhat to rejoice in the Lord with tonight. Let's move out and upward in God, for God has all things under control. He's got the world in His hands, is reeling to and fro like a drunkard. The devil is raging and blowing and storming and tantruming. But the plan of the ages is being worked out. God's church stands triumphant, and it will go out in a blaze of glory. It shall go up in a blaze of glory, I should say. Hallelujah. And we that are in Him are in a bulwark that is strong and safe, and we need not fear. So get your eyes off of yourself, the devil, and man, and circumstances, and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. And that's what He would speak to your troubled heart tonight. Peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, even so send I you. Even as My Father has sent Me, even so send I you. Now this was after the resurrection. Jesus was about to ascend on high, and His work was left unfinished. And so He said, so send I you. Now, it is true that Jesus said in John 17:4, Father, I have finished the work that Thou gavest Me to do. But He was talking about the work of redemption. He was talking about the work of the cross to provide the salvation for all men. He was talking about only the work that the Father gave Christ to do on the earth. That was expected of Him to do. He did all that His Father expected Him in the allotted time. He left nothing undone that His Father expected Him to do. But He did not finish the work that God gave Him to do. And we've got ample proof of it. He did not confirm the covenant with Israel for 1 week of years as prophesied by the prophet Daniel. For He was cut off in the midst of the week of years after 3.5 years ministry. Now this was no failure on His part. It was a failure on the part of the Jews who rejected Him. It was prophesied by Daniel that He'd be cut off in the midst of the week. But it said He shall confirm the covenant for 1 week. So there is another half week yet to go to confirm the covenant, and it will be done. He has not turned the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. As yet, but He will. He has not reigned over a kingdom in righteousness on this earth yet, but He will. He said, if My kingdom were this world, then would My servants fight. His kingdom's from thence, it's not of this world. But He has a kingdom, and He shall rule over the house of David. And Ephraim and Manasseh shall be one stick in His hand. There is an earthly rule to be done yet. He hasn't done that yet. He has not finished His house, whose house are we, to dwell in yet. He has not completed His body to be mature, not blown about by every wind of doctrine, having come into one mature man to take into Himself as yet. He has not dethroned the devil as yet, but He shall. He has not turned the nations to righteousness yet, but he shall. And all shall serve him. All nations shall know that he is God, the scripture says. And I'm talking about the millennium. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Jew who says, who shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and he will be their God from this day and forward. And even those that dwell in the isles of the sea that dwell carelessly shall serve him. Amen. The scripture makes it clear that he shall reign over the earth in that day. He has not yet seen the seed that he has sown, harvested, and brought into God's granary, but he shall. He has not taken his wife unto himself yet, as the greater Solomon, or the greater Isaac, but he shall. He has not turned the kingdom yet over to the Father, but he shall. And so he said, so send I you. His work is not yet done, as the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 proves, where he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's even now making intercession for us. Amen. He is still working. Therefore, his work was not done, but it was done on earth for himself. He's still working from heaven in us and through us. Seeing that we have a great high priest, Hebrews 4:14 says, he ever liveth to make intercession, Hebrews 7:25. The work of the Father was greater than what Christ could do on earth during his allotted time. He never got more than a few miles away from home. He never went out to the nations. He barely got out of Palestine. He didn't leave an area bigger than the Olympic Peninsula. Let's look at the book of John chapter 20 and verse 21. Please turn rapidly to every passage I give you tonight so we can hasten on. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then notice what he says next. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Why? I thought he finished his work. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, here he enters into a giving of authority to his church that wasn't even born yet, to give them authority over sins of the people. And if you remit them, if you accept them, knowing the principles, the Holy Spirit in you, if you accept and remit and of the people, and you accept those sins as being remitted, then God remits them in heaven. And if you don't, and you lose them out, and you let them go out of the church, God strikes them out of the book in heaven. That's a fearful lot of authority. But God has granted. It means he wants his people to walk in his will. This was never given to careless people, but people full of the Holy Ghost walking with God. But Jesus did not wrap it all up on Calvary, go away. There's a lot of Christians today. In fact, the average Christian thinks Jesus finished it all on Calvary. He just left us to wander around like vagabonds for 2,000 years so someday he'd stop by and pick us up, take us home. That's what they think their job is. They're just wandering, waiting for him to come back after 2,000 years. They don't know he left us with a work to do. Greater things than these that I have done shall ye do because I go to my Father. There is a work for us to do. The mantle of the greater Elijah has fallen upon us, Elishas, to carry on the ministry. Our Moses has gone up to Mount Nebo and died, and his body is not with us. But he's called Joshua's to take the people over to occupy, to overcome. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. You see, his work isn't done. He was the sower of the seed. But there needs to be laborers to go into the fields to reap the harvest. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
For what? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But Matthew never got to the uttermost parts of the earth, nor did Luke, nor did the Apostle Paul, and certainly Christ never. So that word must yet be fulfilled, and it was not just to the disciples of his day, but it was unto those unto whom the ends of the earth should come, that we in the fullness of time should bring that message and fulfill the message, the work that God gave Jesus and through his apostles and through his prophets and through those saints through the ages, for us to culminate that great work before he takes us home. So send I you, he said. Who? The 12 apostles only? No. Look at Luke chapter 21, verse 7. I want you to notice the personal pronoun ye. I want you to notice something here. He starts off with the apostles of his day. But it is soon to see that he leaves them, goes far beyond them, and is not long until he's way down into the end of time. And so when he speaks these words, he speaks, he's not just speaking it to them, or we wouldn't use the book. He's speaking it to us also.
Amen.
Notice what he says. Luke 21:7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And, question 2, what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye, he's talking to them, be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. Now, notice what happens if you decide that he's only talking to them when he says ye. When he says ye, he is speaking about them and all that come after him. Not just them. But he couldn't address them face to face. They weren't born yet. But he's talking to you and me, the same as them.
Right.
And the proof is soon to be seen. But when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Look at verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Still talking about them. Verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and so forth. Verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, that happened in 70 AD. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distresses of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds of power and great glory. That's after all this tribulation things. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, he couldn't have been talking about them in that day. The proof is still building. And he spake to them of a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth ye, still seeing you, still talking to the same crowd of people, looking at the same big brown eyes, still saying, you see, you know of your own selves that the summer is not at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. But that was 1900 years ago, and he hasn't come yet. Verily I say unto you, now notice, verily I say unto you. He looked right down at those 24 brown eyes, so to speak, and the big Jewish nose. And he says, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. What generation? That generation he was talking to? No, this generation he's talking about at the end of time. When it begins to come to pass, it shall wrap up in one generation. And we are seeing these signs beginning to come to pass, and it shall wrap up in one generation. This generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. My friend, you are going to live to see the out translation. You're going to live, and if you lived on the earth, you would live through the tribulation and the plagues, and you would live into the millennium. You are going to live down to the very end of time. This world shall blow up, shall pass away with a great noise. It shall roll it up like a scroll, the scripture says. It shall happen in this generation. Amen. According to the word of God. And so when he says you, he always starts from where he is, but he reaches way down into the end of time and includes all the people there.
Right.
He has not yet finished the work that he started out to do. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, he finished the work. Yes, he did that for the whole world. But see Matthew 15:24. Jesus died for the world, that is true. Matthew 15:24 says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why he stayed in Palestine. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles, to the nations. He was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So he did not reach out to the uttermost parts of the earth. He did not save all that were to the ends of the earth. They weren't even born yet. But Peter received the keys of the revelation to the nations, the Gentiles. And Paul was called the apostle to the Gentiles. And so they reached out past Jesus. But they never finished God's work either. Paul never got out of Asia Minor. Peter never got east of Babylon. Look at Matthew 28:19. And he never got west of Palestine, I don't think. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But the disciples never got to all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. They didn't get to all nations. They were commanded to that they might follow all, obey all things. That hasn't happened yet. You don't see that people yet. In John 14:12, we read, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now he says twice, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He shall do them because I go. What does that mean? What's the because for? He shall do them because I'm not going to stay here to do them. Therefore, he shall do them because I go away, because I'm not going to stay here anymore. Therefore, he shall do them. Therefore, send I you.
Yeah.
Therefore, send I you. Look at John 9:5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But notice the qualification. As long as I am in the world. But what then, Lord? What after you are no longer in the world? Then what, Lord? Matthew 5:14 answers that question. or the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But after I am gone, ye are the light of the world.
Amen.
We're to carry on the work.
Amen.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What does that mean? That means that if you see a city like Jerusalem with lights, so any city that's up on a hill, at nighttime or in the daytime, you can't hide it so people won't see it. It's up on the hill for everybody to see.
Amen.
Well, why did he kill? What's relevant about the fact that a city on top of a hill cannot be hid? Who wants to hide it? What's that got to do with whatever? He is saying, I am the light of the world, one light. But I go away. And God has not only the Son of God, but many sons of God. And ye are lights, and altogether you are the city of God. And you are a whole lot of lights burning in a darkened age. And you see, you are a city on top of the hill Zion of God, showing for the light unto a darkened world. But wait a minute. There was no such city of God spiritually in that day. It has to wait down until the end of time. It has to wait until there is a people born to be a great city of God. Look at James chapter 5, verse 7. God says, be patient, therefore, brethren. How many of you are being patient? Are any of you not being patient? If you are not patient, you are disobeying the words of the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Peter.
Right.
He gave a command, be patient, therefore, brethren. In your patience possess ye your souls, the scripture says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, behold, something to behold here, something to look at. Behold, the husbandman, that's God, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's his saints. And hath long patience for it. Until he received the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, here we see that God is waiting for the harvest of the earth. Jesus said that the Son of Man went out as a sower of the seed. But it says God's waiting with long patience for that seed to grow up. But there has to be a harvester. Paul said that one planteth, and one watereth, but God give the increase. There had to be a watering after Christ. There's got to be a harvesting yet. The work is not complete. God, who started the reconciliation and the restoration in his man-child, Christ, is still working in his man-child, the body of Christ. See? He has a man-child that has a head, and it has a body. And it's first in Christ and then in us. And together we make that man-child company. Now let's look at Isaiah 66. Now this man-child body is still in the womb. So it's called the invisible church. It's in the visible, in the woman. You can't see it yet. Now the work of the Son of God continues in the sons of God. The work of our great high priest continues in the kingdom of priests. The work of the great apostle, prophet, teacher, and shepherd, Jesus Christ, continues in the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that he has given as gifts to his church. The work of the temple of God, who is Christ, continues in us who are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the work of God's man-child continues in us who are the children of Zion. Isaiah 66:8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? shall the earth be made... Now, let's look at verse 7, when it's being first. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Before her pain. Now, that's Christ. The first man-child was born before Zion travailed. Before she travailed. Before Zion travailed, she brought forth a man-child. Before. There was no travail in Israel. They weren't travailing. All of a sudden, Christ was on the scene. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? What's he talking about? He's left Christ as the head. He's talking about, he's left Christ as the man of Nazareth. He's talking about Christ as to his body, his great spiritual body. As he is the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and the stone became a great mountain, filled the whole earth, the scripture says. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? You ever plant seed and have it pop up the same day and harvest it? Or shall a nation be born at once? Have you ever seen a great big wilderness, and all of a sudden, this time you turn around, there's a whole nation there from coast to coast? I said, man's never seen that before. But he says, it shall be.
Amen.
For as soon as Zion travailed. Now, this is not before she travailed. This is as soon as she travails, she brought forth her children. Now, this man-child is seen to be children. Because the body of Christ has many members. Now, the church has not travailed yet. Walk up and down the streets and walk into any church and say, are you travailing? Where are the groans and the cries for the souls of men? Where is that bride company with tears pouring behind the altars? Where are the people crying out to the living God for the world, for the sons of God and the kingdom?
That's right.
Seek ye first the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? But they will.
Amen.
God's going to let this old nation rock and roll like a drunkard.
Amen.
He's going to let communism be the great Babylon of her day to whip this nation into line.
Amen.
He's going to allow judgments. He's going to allow fears. He's going to allow famines, pestilences, fires, race riots. He's going to allow this nation to be tossed and shaken from end to end. He's going to allow pressures on God's people. He's going to bring God's people. And you know what he's going to do? Teach them how to pray.
Amen.
Teach them how to believe. See, but I just can't seem to... Every time I get praying, I just fall asleep. Well, God will solve that.
Amen.
There will be the day you will find it easy to pray.
Amen.
You're going to find it easy. I noticed that ensign friend of mine years ago that was on the deck of the Lexicon, tipped like this and all burning from end to end before they all jumped off and was being strafed by Zeros and bombed by Zeke's. He didn't have any trouble praying. Gave his life to Jesus Christ right there with the 500-pound bomb shooting up, blowing up in the fire, and raging and the commands being given, and the chatter of the 50-caliber guns going up, or 30 by 303s, I guess, going up and down the decks from those Zeros. He didn't have any trouble. Boy, breaking steel, pipes blowing. He didn't have any trouble praying. He didn't say, now, Lord, if you'll just stop everything so I can concentrate. He didn't say, Lord, I just kind of get bored when I play and I fall asleep. And he didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
He didn't say, well, I just can't seem to believe. That water was coming up fast in the middle of the ocean in a great naval battle, and he knew he'd probably never live to ever see home and his wife and his children. But he found out how to play. God's people are going to learn and find out how to play.
Yeah.
They're going to find out how to trust God. It's hard to trust God now because you've got a whole lot of dollar bills in your back pocket and you've got a medical insurance downtown and doctors standing there with white coats waiting for you. But up ahead, you're going to find out you're not going to have anything unless you got the Lord.
Amen.
And you're going to cast yourself on him because he's the only lifeboat left out on the storm-tossed sea.
Amen.
Right now, people abuse you. Just call the police. Man in the big blue suit in the store comes up him and just bullies him right down the line. That won't happen in that day. They may be bullying you too. You're going to find out if you love Jesus, you'll be hated of all men. You're going to have to turn to the Lord, who's going to help you in that hour.
Amen.
He's going to teach his people. They'll read the Bible without falling asleep.
Amen.
They'll pray. They'll give. I mean, they'll give. They have anything left. It won't be much, but they'll give in that hour.
Amen.
I work. Well, I just can't witness. I just get all dry throating. I don't know what to say hardly. Yeah, you'll witness as even as to the risk of your life. You'll sneak out in between somebody and get them out in a dark basement someplace under a candle and show them some wood. You'll witness.
Amen.
He's going to get a people. He's going to take them through the fire. You say, well, I don't know if I can stand that. You can't. But you will.
Amen.
He'll be sufficient in the hour. You'll find out you'll be strengthened by some miracle things. He's going to allow it to happen because his people won't serve him when they're fat, dumb, and happy. So he's going to bring them to a place they're going to learn.
Right.
It's going to happen. David Wilkerson's name is mud across the nation now because of his vision, but it'll happen. They'll change their minds.
Yes.
The prophets throughout the land of Israel, just like they were back in Ezekiel's day. They prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah were prophesying judgment upon the land in 70 years. And they all say, oh, no. In fact, when him rode up, he wrote back to the king and he bawled him out for not taking Jeremiah to task. He said, 70 years we're going to go into captivity. He's a false prophet. How come you put up with that? Why don't you do something to him? I don't like all this gloom stuff. We're not going to Babylon. They went into Babylon. They say, well, we're in Babylon, but within 2 years we'll be out. But in 2 years they were still there.
Amen.
And they continue. They say, well, it won't be long. God's broken the staff of Babylon. It won't be long. We'll be back. And Ezekiel and Jeremiah is saying, build houses and you're going to be there a while. Don't just sit under the grape arbor and it won't be long now. Your false prophets are prophesying lies. They're not prophesying in the name of the Lord. He says, you're going to be there, so start building houses, plant vineyards, plant lands. He said, you take care of yourself. And after a while, they said, nobody knows when we're ever going to get back. They told them 70 years, but they didn't want to believe it. They said, oh, nothing will ever happen to Jerusalem. But it did. They said, well, it won't burn or anything. It did.
Amen.
They found out the prophets lied to them. They didn't want any prophets to bloom. They wanted all good stuff that would tickle the ears. Bible says in the last days, they shall heap unto themselves preachers having itching ears. Now, if that isn't happening throughout the land, brother, I can't see at all with either eye and know nothing. The whole nation has heaped unto themselves ministers who preach blessing, blessing, blessing. Everything blessing and wonderful. And they won't hear the word of the Lord.
Right.
We had a minister from this church go down and talk to a whole group of ministers in this city. And he brought them from, they said, well, how can we have fellowship one with another? That was the big seminar. So he went down. And he brought from the word of God the scriptures that talk about the unity of the faith and be not blown about by every wind of doctrine and proved to them that this faith that God talked about was the doctrines of the holy word of God. And when he got through using scripture after scripture to prove it clearly, they went all around the whole line of ministers and every one of them without using one scripture. Same place I went before where they swept all my stuff off the table after I gave them a long study. They went off like that with one flippant statement without any scripture. They turned right around and said, well, it's good to have unity and diversity. God wants unity and diversity. And they went and petted all the differences and did not believe one word that the word was God. Swept it all off the table because they didn't want to face up to the fact. One day they're going to face to the fact. There are people that come, they'll come very look at me and say, oh, why do you do that? What are you saying those things for? You're going to find out someday why I'm saying those things, my friend. It's incumbent upon me to preach the word of God and warn the people if nobody believes.
Amen.
The day will come, you'll find out who's preaching the word of God, who's standing true, and who's being faithful. And although they point the finger at and hiss and jeer the lip and blame, they're going to find out that he was the one who was faithful to God and the others were not faithful. And is heaped into themselves their own riches, fed their own nest, and lied unto the people.
Right.
Now that isn't popular preaching. But that is the truth, so help me God. And I am not saying that there aren't men of God across this nation that are preaching truth. I am just saying there is a spiritual climate that has deaf ears to it. And they don't want to hear anything but blessing, and they won't hear it. They stop their ears. But the coming a day, they'll find out and wish they had listened and prepared themselves.
Amen.
What work do we have yet to do? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. All you perfected ones, would you please stand so we can see you and shake your hand? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith. Oh, that'll never be. That's what they say. Well, you know, when we get to heaven, forget about even trying. Wait till we get to heaven. That is the spirit out here in the teachings. Forget about ever trying to... Wait till we get to heaven. Just forget doctrine till we get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about doctrines.
That's right.
The unity of faith is necessary down here when we're still divided. Jesus' last prayer before he went away is, Father, they may be one. There will be one someday. Well, if that was the case, he would have took them to heaven then. He says, Father, I come to thee. I pray for them, not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them in the world. But he prayed that they should become one, that they may be with me where I am.
Amen.
Meaning they will not be here with him where he is until they become one.
Amen.
He says, I have finished the work thou gave me to do, I come to thee. But they have not finished the work, and they can't come to him where he is, and he's left them here. So send I you. It's time people begin to believe the word of God.
Amen.
Begin to get it straight.
Amen.
Trouble is out here, they're not teaching the word of God straight.
Amen.
They use a penknife here and there. They skip around and take a little bit, and they're not preaching the full gospel. They dodge areas.
Right.
And that's the truth. I mean, you can accuse me all you want to, but I'm telling you, you've got to preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
Why am I saying these things? Because people don't know it. Because they haven't been taught. Because they've been brainwashed. Because they've been behind a blanket. Because they go out there and they listen every day to all these bless you and wonderful preachers type things. And they don't get the word of God and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. You go out to the average charismatic church and they don't even know there's such a thing as a bride without spot or wrinkle, most of them. They never heard of aspiring to that. They never heard of the Shulamite company. They never heard of the Man-Child company. They don't know anything. You say, what's the difference between the Shulamite, the choice women of a mother, the queens, the concubines, and the virgins? We just don't have doctrine around here. We just, just love one another. And so God, he could have given it to you in a little capsule. You open it up, pick it up and say, love one another. Fold it up, put it back in the capsule, and put it in your pocket. That's all the big old Bible had to be, the way they preach it. Just love one another. He put this stuff in here that we might know it. Blessed is he that heareth and knoweth the words of this prophecy. Keepeth. Blessed is he that heareth and keepeth. You can't keep it unless you hear it and know it. Oh, we don't deal with prophecy. It's just all so confused. Nobody even really knows. Blessed is he that heareth and keepeth it.
Amen.
Not blessed is he that makes excuses and turns his ear from it and doesn't understand it. No, he says, we shall come to one faith.
Amen.
That we henceforth be no more children. We got a lot of children around, a lot of babies. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. I have a fellow calling me up about every week from Los Angeles, long distance, because of the radio. Talk about somebody blown about by every wind of doctrine. My. He's just longing for truth. He calls me up and asks me what to believe, what to do. I mean, he's so naive. He's just like a tender baby with the bunting, He's just so little. He calls up to have his pacifier put in every so often. It's just amazing. Knows nothing. Struggling. little tiny infant. God expects his people to grow up and learn something. To from babes to young men to fathers, the scripture says. So he might give them strong meat. But he says, today, it's like Paul said, I would give you strong meat, but you're not able. I had to give you milk. And that's exactly where it is across the nation. Most places, you can't give anybody strong meat. They say, oh, I'm just all swamped. You have to feed them milk. Oh, they want more milk. Keep crying for milk. It's all they're getting is milk. Brother, it's time we get some strong meat. We might grow up, be fathers, get out and be workers together with God. Not little baby blessing seekers fussing for more blessing and bottle. But get out and be workers for God and overcome the devil and know him who is from the beginning.
Amen.
Be not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to effectual working of the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, do you know a whole body fitly joined together, compacted by itself in love, working together like that? I haven't seen it yet. There's a work to be done.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3:18 says that we will be to be changed from glory to glory, even into the same image. There's a changing from glory to glory. Some have never got to the first glory yet. Jesus, when he said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. The Greek word is meson, greater, from mega, big. It never has anything to do with numbers. There's not one place in the Bible that that word ever means more. They say, oh, that means more. Greater works means that you get a lot more people. So naturally you can do more than Jesus. That's where they want to teach it. We're just going to be, you know, he was Jesus, but we are just, you know, we just lay around here half indifferent and sinning and we can't help it. And the blood covers us and his grace is wonderful. And someday he'll come by and pick us up, take us to heaven. He said, greater, bigger,
amen.
Not more, bigger,
amen.
Greater, for mega, huge. A bride without spot or wrinkle has to be formed yet. I don't see that yet. Thy kingdom come, he taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see his will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Have you seen his kingdom come? He said, pray for his kingdom to come. How many are praying for his kingdom to come throughout the land? Are they praying for a kingdom to come? No. They're not praying for a kingdom to come. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He's talking about a restoration of the kingdom to his people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's got to be a king, and there's got to be a kingdom. And that kingdom has to come in the hearts of his people, till his people all are one under a king.
Yeah.
But today, you would think we had 1,000 kings.
That's right.
With all the different groups. I follow this, and I'm a Lutheran. Well, I'm a Calvinist. Paul said, are you so carnal? Is Christ divided? He said, I am of Paulus. I am of Paul. I am of Cephas. He said, you're carnal. But that's we all. I'm a Lutheran. I am a Calvinist. I'm a Wesleyan. No. 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 I am of Paul. Not me. I'm of Paulus. He was eloquent. Oh, not me. I'm a Peter. No, we're of Christ. Christians, not Lutherans. Forget everything that Luther said contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
Had Lutheran pastor out here say, oh, well, we know that this isn't scriptural, but our diocese wants it, you know, this way. And we know it isn't the scriptural way, but, you know, we don't think it makes any difference. We change it. Imagine. Admit that it's not the Bible way, but they do it anyway. The gates of hell shall not prevail or overpower the church, Matthew 16:18 says. But the church hasn't gone under, but it's been divided over 250 times. That's hardly what I call that they may be one. It almost went under in the Dark Ages, For a long period of time, you could hardly see a spark of light until even the Catholics under Pope Innocent in those 8 days, even the Catholics began to cry for reform under the midnight hour of the papacy. The church has had some very low points in history. By the time when Wesley started to preach in England, he said you could hardly find a clergyman. He was out playing whist or out lawn bowling. You could hardly find a clergyman to do a job. By the time that Jonathan Edward mounted the platform in Northampton in 1734, it had dropped to such a low point spiritually, and there was such a halfway covenant that even ministers were just in halfway covenants, and the people were in a lazy state. And he got up and he preached his famous message, Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God. Wasn't a blessing message either.
Amen.
The church has had some low points, but it's going to be cut out triumphant.
Yeah.
A glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. There's a work that is to be done by the saints of God, because there is going to be a triumphant church. Christ's last prayer was for oneness until we all come into the unity of the faith, Ephesians says. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes into you. You shall be witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. Pray always you may gain full vigor, the Greek says, to be kind of worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I don't see a people that are praying always yet. There are not very many. I mean, you can count them on the fingers of one hand, average per assembly throughout the United States practically. We have to change yet from where he says he's the Shulamite in the beginning stage, and he says, thou hast dove's eyes, to where he sees you at a later stage, he says, thou art a dove.
Yes.
He has to change. We have to change from that young woman. He says, he has no breast. What shall she do in the day when she shall be spoken for? The day when the Lord shall speak, when her husband comes and says, I want a wife. And he says, well, this one's only 13. She's not old enough to milk out children. She's not old enough to be a wife. She has no breast. He says, well, I don't want her. I'm looking for somebody developed. Don't you have a daughter that's developed? And then the Shulamite goes on and says, my breasts are like towers. I am fully developed, ripe and ready for a husband. We have to grow yet from the little sister to the big sister.
Amen.
To be the Shulamite, ready.
Yes.
For him. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, Jesus said. And he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you remit, you'll be remitted. Authority yet must be given to the church. The church must be spirit-led, spirit-filled. There is a filling up of God's work to be done. There's an occupying, increasing talents, occupying in the business, increasing the talents he gives until he comes again. There's a nation to be born in a day. There's a harvest to reap, a city to light in the darkness, a showing forth of Christ, a maturing, a growing up in Christ, a connecting of one body, a great army of dry bones to come off the valley floor, breathed into by the breath of life, to stand upon their feet as a great army to go under one direction of one commander.
Amen.
We shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. He shall send the former and the latter rain in the harvest month. Praise God. There's a death wound of the beast yet to be delivered. There's a Shulamite bride, the choice one of a mother, who is going to be chosen above the queen brides of the past and the concubine servant wives of the time in between, and over the virgin daughters out here that are too young and too immature spiritually. There is that Shulamite yet to come to full maturity. So send I you, and we shall reap if we faint not. There's a great work to be done, my friend. God has called us, and the church out here of Jesus Christ knows very little. Oh, they know to win souls. They know the sheep are supposed to bear lambs, but they do not have the vision yet. They cannot write it plain that they don't run and read it. They don't understand the scriptures that says, if you're weary with footmen, what should you do? How will you run with horses? What are you going to do when the lions come up out of the thicket? When the Jordan overflows, we're going to have to get in position to run with horsemen like Elijah, to grip our loins and run before the chariots of Ahab.
Amen.
Be caught away in the spirit.
Amen.
We're going to have to deal with lions that come up out of the thickets, roaring, seeking whom they may devour.
Amen.
There's a work to be done, and as David said, is there not a cause in Israel? We're going to have to go out after the giants. in the name of the Lord
Amen.
Of hosts. We have to go after the giants in our own soul.
Amen.
And we have to go out of the giants that are out there.
Yeah.
With the word of God, stand fast. Quit yourself like men. We are not of them that draw back into perdition, but go on into the saving of the soul. My friend, don't go back. Don't look to emotions. Don't look to self.
Yeah.
Don't weep and cry and listen to the devil's doctrine and take it over this book.
Yeah.
Hold the word. Say like Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. It stands written.
Amen.
Get behind me, Satan. Rebuke the devil. He'll flee from you.
Amen.
God's people have a right to shout and sing.
Amen.
They have no business being kicked around the scum of the earth. They are sons of the living God.
Amen.
We should rise to full height. Claim our inheritance.
Amen.
Who can be against us if God is for us?
Right.
God's with us. There's nobody who can be against us. It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth God's sons? We are judged of no man, yet we judge all things, Paul said.
Yeah.
We are God's people, a peculiar people. We have an inheritance. If you recognize who you are and who your father is, you'll live like it. You'll talk like it. You'll walk like it. And you'll have power over him. They can't bully you anymore. They bully you because you don't know who you are. But you begin to know who you are. They'll step back and take notice. Listen, gird up the loins of your mind. Walk with Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. Don't let the enemy blow you around all the time. Oh, I can't stand all this stuff. Enemy, my mind, all these mind battles. Label it garbage and throw it away. Hang up on the devil. Preach the word of God. Every time the devil gives you one word that is against God, you give him seven words of the word of God back, and he'll soon find himself defeated. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are triumphing him. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said.
Yeah.
We have power in the Holy Ghost. It's about time God's people took it. They take these things coming to their mind, you know. It's, oh, I got all these filthy things in there. Well, kick them out the other side. The devil gives them to you and then he blames you for them.
Right.
So when you get them in, you say, well, I don't even my heart. If it's not your heart, it's not you.
Right.
And you can't be blamed for being tempted of something that's not of you.
Right.
It's not sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's sin to obey temptation. Just
yeah.
kick it out and don't worry about it. Rejoice in your salvation.
Yeah.
Old Billy Bray, the old coal miners, for God was sitting there on the head. He was coal mining coal, and the devil would come to him and put thoughts in his mind, too. And he loved God. He was praising God all the day long. He praised God so much, they said, we ought to put you in a build and put the lid on. He said, if you did, I'd say, praise the Lord out to the cork hole. Devil would come to his mind and say, jump off, jump off, jump off to the ravine below, in the coal shaft. And he'd yell out, oh, jump off yourself, old smutty foot. May not be very refined, but he knew where it was coming from, and he knew he had the word of God.
Amen.
Stand fast in the faith. The devil came to Martin Luther and showed him all of his sins. He said, well, right, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin right across the front. I'll be gone.
Right.
Grabbed an ink bottle and threw it at him. Listen, let's live for Jesus every day.
Amen.
Quit whining and whimpering, but unbore yourself, a redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.